You are now listening to a member of the Disney Podcast family. Head over to Disney Podcast Family on Instagram to see all the latest posts for this show and links to other great Disney podcasts.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Chris, and you're listening to a podcast that believes in dreams, that places trust in the magic of imagination, that is always the first star to the right, and where the light in the window is always on. Join as we discuss the views from Walt's apartment.
Yes. Happy Absolutely. Day.
There's only three of us tonight. That's okay. Does somebody want to do the intro? Because I don't want to butcher it.
What is our intro? What?
I don't know. Well, see, this is why Sean should not leave the children to run the show.
Welcome to Walt's Apartment Pandemic Edition. So we're going to go ahead and say we have our lead host, Sam, with her two minions, Ethan and myself, the Blurred Hulk. So we are going to provide you a fun, exuberant, awesome show here. We have some Disney news to talk about. We have some, you know, movies that are coming out, some other really informational stuff that's Disney related, and we're going to try our best to not fluff this up and have us pulled off the air by accidentally dropping F-bombs, which I make no promises tonight.
I'll stand with you on that one, too. I can drop a couple. I'm pretty good at that.
Oh, we're going down big. So
okay.
I literally just told you guys to behave. Me, of all people.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, Jen.
How are you?
Hey,
Danny.
Hi, Mondo. Robin, hello. Thank you for joining us. Oh, Adam's here. Right. Hi, Adam.
Right on.
Hi, Jen.
Ramble, full house.
Amber is listening while she's driving from work.
Hey. All right. Well, feel free to pop in when you get home.
Yes.
Absolutely. Pop in.
Thank you. Yes. We are going to be covering news from the DisInsider.com. We are their official podcast. So you guys just want to jump right into our articles?
Sure.
Sure. Absolutely.
I don't know. What are we supposed to do something else? I don't know.
I don't think so.
No, I think.
Oh, I should say that you should check out our friends, Skylar and Derek's Patreon.
Yes.
And their DisInsider podcast. So yes, you can absolutely check all of that out on their social media. Ethan, I think you have the first story.
I do. Yes. So Walt Disney World is planning to require all of the employees to get their vaccination. So by October 22nd of 2021, so right before the big Halloween festivities, all Disney World employees are set to receive the vaccination. They actually just recently worked out a deal with all of the union employees as well. So this is a great step for vaccinations, keeping everybody safe. And obviously those that have very religious views or have a medical concerns about the vaccination are exempt. But besides that small group of people, everyone else is going to be required to get that vaccination in order to work. So Disney is one of the largest employers of Florida. So this is obviously a big step for Florida and a big step for Disney just in general. Officials have declared that they haven't been able to come to an agreement yet with those out in Anaheim, but I suspect they'll probably be able to come to some type of agreement soon.
It's a really tough spot to be in, but
it is.
I understand that they want to do everything they can to keep the parks open and keep everybody healthy in the parks. So
right.
This is the move they're making. We will see how that goes.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say, I think that the writing's on the wall. We've, you know, we're this isn't new. This is, we're over a year into this. We've had an actual full shutdown. We have financial numbers coming in, what this is doing to our economy. And we're seeing numbers from other economies that are shutting down and are able to open back up and everything else. And so there's going to be a point in time where employers like I can't afford not to actually act. We can't just take it up on people's hesitancy to either do it or not do it. We have to protect, you know, our interests going forward and protect, you know, the people that we serve and stuff going forward. And so there more and more businesses are going to be following Disney and a lot of the other are my field. Mm-hmm. I'm in the healthcare field. Yeah. It's mandated for us and stuff. There's other fields that are not in health, direct healthcare, but they're businesses and they're suffering. So they're also going to be mandating. And because it's FDA, when the vaccines is FDA approved, it gives license for insurance companies and everyone else to make some arrangements around that as well. Right. And I don't know what that is, so I'm not going to speak out of turn, but I would not be surprised if come September or October-ish, we see open enrollment for a lot of people, meaning that the unvaccinated may, you know, there may be some cost increases and stuff for that. So I don't know, but we're at the point in time that that businesses are scrambling to try to figure out what they can do to kind of help resolve this solution so we can open back up. So,
Yeah. David, you look very studious with your glasses today.
Thank you.
You just spoke so eloquently.
Well, you know, I had to put on my professional hat today and stuff. You know, we're hiring for a new CEO for our organization, and I get to read all the medical transmittals that come down about this COVID stuff. So I had to put myself in the right frame of mind. I drank coffee today. I don't typically do that because I like to be a kid at heart. But today I had to put on my grown up pants and glasses. So yeah,
it's never any fun.
It's not. I can't tell you it's not fun. But.
Well, some of us don't have to do that ever because we spend all day with children. I saw Danny said he loves my shirt. I was telling Barry and Bill earlier, I was like, I'm wearing the wrong part today. I've got Islands of Adventures on for Walt's Apartment Wednesday. And Danny likes your cup, Ethan.
Hey, thank you very much. My wife got this for me. I had a Game of Thrones cup that she accidentally broke. And she got me a really cool Star Wars cup instead.
That's all right.
I'm a lucky guy.
It will become a requirement for all future new hires for a lot of companies.
Yep.
I think if you're not a new hire, Jen.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think, you know, like, I don't want to get too political, but I think there will be people on both sides of the fence like they are now. There will be the people who say, yeah, no problem, I'm already vaccinated. And then there will be those that say, well, I'm not working for you. And it'll be that constant battle for the years to come. And I think, you know, it just makes a whole lot more sense to just be on the right side or the left side. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can't we all just meet in the middle and be happy and care about other people?
You would think.
Wait, what? This is America. Meet in the middle, sensible, reasonable, responsible. I'm sorry.
Hey, we are here in Walt's apartment.
That's not where we are and stuff. So yes, where people gather, where people are reasonable and they enjoy the fun things in life and keep people going through this pandemic, which I love our community. Our community is, I mean, I get as much out of it as I give to others and stuff. And I can't tell you, like, you know, having you guys as fans out there looking at Disney stuff and the Marvels, I can't tell you how much I needed some of these pick me ups over this this pandemic that we're going through. And Danny, if you do want to apply, just hit me up on Facebook later and stuff. We'll see if you qualify.
That's right. CEO, baby.
That's right. You'll be my boss.
I want to be your boss.
I can't do that. I have to quit immediately if you're in charge of. I'm joking. I'm sure you're my awesome boss.
Oh, that's cool.
Not the Hulk, but Dr. Banner tonight.
Oh, like that. Okay, yes, Dr. Banner's in the house tonight.
That cup is legit, Ethan.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You guys have some fun involvement tonight. David, that next article is on you, buddy.
Yes, okay. So reports that Eternals could be delayed if Shang-Chi underperforms at the box office. So let's talk about that. So we're about over a week away. Shang-Chi comes out, I believe, is September 3rd, which is next Friday. Mm-hmm. So Shang-Chi, The Legend of the Ten Rings, it is been, you know, they the studio said it's going to be a experiment, what JPEG said, in the box office. They're going to run it for the 45 days before any premiere streaming releases. So that means 45 days strictly in the box office. So if you want to see it, you have to go to the movie theaters. With that said, there is a lot of studios who are watching Shang-Chi because this is really their real Disney's breakout movie that is exclusively in the theaters. And how they perform financially during this, you know, pandemic time is going to really affect whether studio other movies and stuff get pushed back either into next year or later in the upcoming months and stuff. Eternals is one of those that could very well not come out in November and be pushed to 2022. Oh, wow. So with that said, they're expecting it to make anywhere from 30 to 55 million opening weekend. It's unfortunately that is not great numbers for a normal Marvel box office hit, but for, you know, keeping in account with the pandemic and stuff, it is about a realistic projection of a successful pandemic movie as you can get. So, with that said, if it hits those numbers, great. We may not push things back, or maybe they'll look at some of the other movies, especially in the Marvel playbook. I can't speak for other studios. Warner Brothers are you know, they got other movies that, you know, that they're looking, other studios are watching this. But as far as Disney, they may take their approach of reorganizing and maybe doing double openings with theaters as well as their premiere. So there's a lot of eyeballs that are watching this, and it's big. I'm a big fan of the Marvel franchises. I've talked to people who were lucky enough to go to some of the special premieres, and they said you have to watch it on the big screen. Yeah. I myself, our theater is very good about taking precautions and doing, you know, what is necessary to do, you know, making sure seats, you can't, you know, pick seats next to one. They keep gaps and stuff. You have to wear a mask. It's not an option. I haven't decided yet, but I may go see it in theaters, but it really does depend. I want to make sure I do my part as being responsible. So I would happily, you know, abstain if the responsible choice for me is to do so. But that's the thing. That's a decision everyone has to make for themselves on whether or not they're going to see it in theaters. But I really am rooting for this movie. I think it is one of the first Asian-led superhero movies that Marvel's bringing to the stage. They really want this to do very well. They're not rooting against it by doing this theater-only release, but they are kind of testing the waters and seeing what they can and cannot do with future Marvel projects and stuff, and if we have to play another musical shares. So that's where we are on that. So
Danny says, highly doubt Shang-Chi underperforms. It's been getting great early reviews and fans are super hyped. Yes. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it, David. My theater experience is not like your theater experience. I live in Indiana. Yeah. So, but what I do to feel safer is I go at those weird times when nobody's going to go to the movies at like 1 or 2 p.m.
Yeah.
And yeah. I go during that time.
Wrong. I have a hazmat suit that I'm not afraid to pull out and go do this just to show my support.
You're going to carry around some Lysol and just spray the people sitting next to you.
Yes. Put that on. Oh, yes. Yeah. The beekeeper's mask, the bird mask. Right. Yes.
That's exactly.
Hi, Barry.
Hey, Barry.
Hi, Mary. Glad you guys joined us. All right. Next article is mine, and it's perfect. We're going to be talking, it's the Oogie Boogie Bash, right?
Ooh, yes.
That's what it is at Disneyland Resort. Okay. So, new villains, Agatha Harkness, yes. Sid, and Cruella are expected to be among the villains at Oogie Boogie Bash. Looks like it's going to be a fun time. You know, they're going to have the Mickey Treat Trails. They will have lots of characters out and about, Maleficent and Oogie Boogie on their thrones. Lots of fun. So seeing some semblance of normal holidays in the parks coming back without the full-on character interactions. But yeah. So, I wish I could go.
Yeah. It's good to see, though, just overall, you know, bringing in some new characters that I think really did well in sort of the, you know, the not the box office, but within the streaming service that they're offering. And I think that the more that Disney can continue to do that, especially with Star Wars, with Mando, you know, just thinking more outside of the box, the more that they can continue to incorporate that. I'll be curious to see, and I don't know if we're talking about this a little bit later, but Monsters at Work, if they'll start incorporating that at all, you know, because these kids are watching now. So at some point, they're going to have to start incorporating some of these things that everyone's watching. And this is a great, in my opinion, this is a really cool move on the park's part to start bringing in some of those characters, especially like Agatha Harkness. There's going to be a lot of really Marvel nerds who are going to want to take a picture with her. Because exactly. Yep. It's going to be really, really cool.
So
I'll be her for Halloween. I haven't decided yet.
That would be cool.
Just kidding. So, I'm going to be.
I agree. I actually want to piggyback on. I think we're going to be seeing a newer trend. Like we used to, you know, Disney having they do generational upgrades. Just in my opinion, what I've seen, they do generational upgrades, and they're kind of far in between before they make some changes, but they do that and they get them out there. Of late, though, they've been doing trending. I call it trend character upgrades, which is amazing. It's phenomenal because they're really catching on to the buzz and stuff. I mean, Agatha came out. This is her season, Agatha's Harkness and stuff. And to add a character like that quick and stuff is phenomenal for the parks and stuff. So that means they really are paying attention to the popularity of these characters and stuff. And they're looking for a slot where they can introduce them in the park, which is for me, brings new people, the younger generation who is introduced, you know, to these characters and stuff are going to be gung-ho to go to the parks to see some of their favorite characters, take pictures and participate and be a part of that. So I love the fact that they really are looking at let's upgrade characters based on the trending, what's going on and now versus wait, you know, maybe 5 years we'll put, you know, Eric, you know, Agatha into the Oogie Boogie Halloween special, which I want to go so bad. But I'm still paying off my previous Disney trip last month. So
well, if anybody wants to pay for me to go to Disneyland, just kidding. I don't have time to go to Disneyland right now. School's too busy.
Field trip,
everybody. Let's get on the plane. Danny says, should have a parade of Sid's toys. That'll have everyone spooked.
Ooh, I love that.
Very cool idea, Danny.
That's an awesome idea, actually.
That's really cool.
Hi, Mario.
What's up?
Ooh.
Okay, this next article is an opinion piece that our very own Sean Nyberg wrote.
Very well written.
It was very well. Everything Sean Nyberg writes is very well written. And you can tell it was from the heart and he was very spirited writing it.
Yeah.
He was spitting facts and well researched. It's like all of this stuff. Brian, hey, Brian, what up, bud?
Probably not, Chris. We already talked about how I'm wearing the wrong park today.
We're an all-inclusive show today. We're going to give her a pass, the variant Sam.
So Wednesdays are Red for Ed days in public schools. So I had to wear a red teacher shirt to represent, you know, being teacher union strong because we need things for our schools. And okay, I'm going to hop off my soapbox now. Anyways, the article that Sean Nyberg wrote was called, let me pull it up.
Pretending what you know, what
stop Walt, pretending yes. You know what Walt Disney would want. You don't. And we have seen a lot lately of people making comments like Walt wouldn't have wanted, you know, retheming of Splash Mountain. Walt wouldn't have wanted fast passes to, you know, be taken away or to be paying for things. So all of these things and like the way they're represented in the park, Walt didn't have his hand in any of these things.
Right.
Walt said the parks would be ever-changing. And so Sean's just like, it's kind of disrespectful to Walt's legacy to think that, like, he would, or just to assume that he would be unhappy with these things.
Are for people who've never met, interacted, or know Walt personally to know what he could pretend to know what he wants. Right. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like he hasn't touched much of what's in the parks right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just Disneyland is pretty much what he touched. The Florida project, he didn't, you know, really get to
see that to
get what he wanted. Yeah. Right. Epcot is not what he wanted it to be. Yeah. We want to keep Walt's vision alive in the parks, but we can't use that as an excuse to kind of complain about changes.
Right.
My thing is, if you don't like the changes, you have the choice to not go. You may not like that, but
100%.
1,000%.
You well are in charge of how your money is spent.
Exactly.
So,
and I really liked how Sean mentions, and I'm sorry. I really loved how Sean was like, when Disneyland first opened, there was maybe an average attendance of 9 million people.
Yeah,
that was it. There's now over 160 million people that visit the parks worldwide.
Yes.
There's no way that Walt could have, A, ever imagined that those parks were going to get to that level, and B, that he'd be able to control or understand how it all works. And he even says to the people who are like, well, see, obviously he wouldn't have been able to put up with all that, you know, those people. It's so incredible the way that Sean wrote it. I was over here laughing hysterically because I thought it was A, so well written, and B, I can hear all those people in my head going, they're taking away my favorite nighttime show. They're doing this, they're doing that. Like,
things have to change.
Exactly. That is the way the world works.
That is. So
I absolutely encourage everyone to actually read that article. There was a moment in there that I was sipping my imaginary tea when he was actually talking about how people use this line a lot, which is true. I hear it an awful lot, is that Walt is rolling around in his grave as a representation of something that they don't like. And he dropped the ultimate, like, well, Walt was cremated. So there you go. There is no grave for him to be rolling around in. Yeah. You disrespect.
So it's like, exactly. So it's like you want to sit here and throw Walt in people's faces, but you don't even know that he does not, like, he's cremated. Right. Yeah. Danny said, I love that title. Applause to you, Mr. Nyberg. Yes. If you haven't read the article, it's a great one. It's over at thedisinsider.com. Brian says Walt would be rolling over in his grave, should result in a swift kick to the groin and a 45 days in jail. Exactly what Mary said. Walt was a businessman.
Yeah.
Walt wants to be defrosted, Chris said.
Oh my God.
Chris, go listen to like episode 4 or something of Dizology. We myth busted that, and you already know that, sir. Let's go ask him personally. We all know he froze himself. I cannot with you guys.
So
a lot of these people act like you're entitled to things. Newsflash, you are not.
Yep.
You are a consumer. You get to choose what you consume, though.
Right. And I think the best thing about that whole article is, like, Walt said one thing. It's always going to be changing. And that's how you need to look at the parks. And if you can, and Sam, you really did hit the nail right on the head. If you can't take that and you don't like that, don't go.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
They could have forced everyone to have to get it by raising the prices. At least it is a choice. Without change, we don't get Agatha Harkness and Avengers Campers for Oogie Boogies, which is amazing. Yep, we just finished talking about that one too. So
100%.
David just said we got to get those fresh faces in there for younger viewers and younger audience.
Yep.
So here, I mean, the thing is this, the takeaway for people is own your own criticism. Be okay with, you know, like, here's the thing. We're not all going to like everything that Disney is going to do. And it's true. Right. It's okay to be honest about it and stuff. Don't create a scapegoat, especially with Walt, because nobody really outside of a few people worked with them who are probably retired or are moved on to the better knew the man. So don't use his name in vain. Just own your own stuff. If you have a criticism, you know, be honest about it and then move on. Interact, you know, either don't participate in something you don't like or do or or hold your breath and sit on the pin. I mean,
right.
Yeah. Do you. So
I think about it this way too. When I was a kid, I loved Disney World. I loved going. I enjoyed the rides. And now as 32, I still love everything, but I'm also the armchair engineer, imagineer, where I'm just like, wow, I wonder if they could do this. I wonder how they would do that. Maybe we could include this somehow. Like, I love like allowing my brain to like think about all those things. So, absolutely. You know, if you lack that ability to be a forward thinker, like the Imagineers, then, you know, there's really no reason why you should be able to complain about it.
Exactly. I'm avoiding the next thing we're supposed to do.
Oh, which is what?
Which is getaway today?
Oh, no. We can do that because then I can avoid the other thing I don't want to do for a little bit longer. David, why don't you tell us about our sponsors?
Man, so what to say to you guys that I haven't already said? Okay, so let's talk about this. This is gonna be a serious moment. Let me put on my serious voice here. So we are, you know, it's the year, it's halfway, you know, 2021, right? Yeah. Some of us, you know, we weren't sure what 2021 would look like. You know, growing up, we were promised hoverboards by Michael J. Fox and the liars at Back to the Future 2, and that did not happen. That was 2015, not 2021. But we still don't have hoverboards. I'll jump off my soapbox on that. But what we do have is the opportunity to fly in an airplane and go to a away destination, which is better than a hoverboard, some may argue. Not me, but some will argue. And go to a relaxing, fun destination that just can take your mind off of the current events that's happening that may not be pleasant. So with that said, our sponsor is here to help you plan that trip. Go, you know, whether it's a mini vacation up the block or in another state or at a resort, which is preferably Disney, they will do that for you. And it will be no additional cost as if you were planning it yourself. So why put yourself through that grief of planning something when you can just let someone else plan it for you? And you just enjoy the vacation. They have great packages. They have great payment plans. They work with you in a whole host of ways. And they're friendly. And I've used them to go to Disneyland with my family. So with that said, please make sure you get you some. Because they're a huge sponsor of us. And we love them. And you will too. And I hate you guys who have not invented the hoverboard yet. That's all I'll say. Get you some.
So, yes. Thank you to Getaway Today. 1-800-GETAWAY. Mention Walt's apartment. Let them know we sent you.
That's
spread
right.
The love. Hoverboard. Find David a hoverboard. I don't know. Mary wants to know what we've done with Sean. Mary, are you not entertained? Are we not enough for you?
Are you, hey, Sean, not?
Yeah.
Don't make me tighten those ropes.
Get the bat again.
Yeah. Really climb up this time.
Put the lotion on the skin. No, sorry.
Or get the hose again.
Sorry.
Hang on. I can't hear. Ethan, is that your mic or our mic? Or Ethan, can you mute for a second?
Sure.
Oh there we go.
It's good. It was good. Go back.
Hi.
There we go.
I don't know what that was.
Oh.
Little
power surge over here. I think that's what it was. So I apologize.
Yeah. We also have a storm going on over here too. So
there you go. So have you guys been watching, or have you watched The Monsters at Work? What are your thoughts?
I have not watched it yet, but I am actually, we're going to be watching as a family here tomorrow night because we have dinner and movie, so we're going to do some cool stuff around that tomorrow.
Very nice.
I will have to wait until this weekend. I don't have time to do, I haven't even watched the last What If.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, wow. You haven't? Oh, no, man.
My heart hurts. I've been sick, and I have went back to school, so.
All right.
I'm trying to figure it out. I will watch it.
I will say this. I have been watching since the beginning when it first started, and it started slow. It started really slow, and I wasn't the biggest fan. And I would say this last episode, which I believe was either episode 7 or 8, was actually really cute. It was the first time that I kind of laughed a few times, that I just kind of felt like the comedy was a little bit more kid driven. This was the first episode that they did that I was like, wow, okay, like this is going somewhere, and I think they finally found where their their main character is really going to be. I think that it has some really good potential. I mean, it's got a really star-studded cast, and overall, like the voices, like if you're any way familiar with, you know, some of the more popular voices in today's, you know, genres and movies and things of that nature, you'll recognize them, and you'll definitely enjoy their banter. Like I said, this was the first episode, this most recent one, where I giggled a little bit more than I probably thought that I would. But other than that, the first few episodes were a little dry. Definitely more kid-based. Like, I think the kids will love them, but the adults in the room will be like, oh, God, is this almost over?
Well, I have the mindset of a five-year-old half the time, so maybe I'll be fine.
So maybe you'll love it.
I think we'll have to have a snuggle day this weekend and just watch on the projector upstairs. So
there you go. That would be fun.
Danny says he loves Henry Winkler's character.
Henry Winkler does a great job. Steve Buscemi does an awesome job. Mindy Kaling's was like the big sign-on. And I thought that I think her character right now is still very underutilized. I think there's so much that they can do. And I do think that in order for the show to continue, I do think that there has to be some type of love interest. And right now there's no hints of a love interest, in my opinion. So, and I think in order for the show to succeed and continue, I think it needs one. Okay. And that's just my opinion. So take it for what you will.
Mondo says, "What If is crushing it." I think I'm going to watch that before I go to bed tonight. I'm going to watch the one that I missed. Anybody want to say anything about What If before we move on to the other?
Yeah, I'll give you guys a non-spoiler review here. So this is episode 3 of What If, and there are some decisions that actually, you know, that cause some Avengers not to exist anymore. So that's all I'll say. But it was actually, it kind of kept moving the ball forward. It actually showed that there's a continuation where it wasn't just a nice little neat wrap up and then a little extra scene. It was like, there's definitely an additional part to this particular, this episode. So I think what we're going to see is a lot of these episodes start tying into each other, which I thought that would happen a little bit later, but it looks like they're starting the premises now. So I'm liking it. I'm digging it, and I like the way it goes. I love the fact that we have the real, you know, some of the real stars voicing the characters and stuff. We get to see Sam Jackson again, and it's definitely worth the watch. We'll cover it more on the Marvel Tribe in details, because there's some pretty cool Easter eggs and things that happen into it. And again, this is pretty much in the multiverse and canon, according to Feige and the guys at the awesome people at Marvel, that to the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse. So the MCM, this is canon. So it's kind of cool. Mephisto kills everyone. Spoiler. Oh, sorry. For all of our fans out there, no, that's not a spoiler or so. But, and if you do put it in there, I'm not going to read it. Don't post that, Sam.
Okay, so the moment that I have been dreading.
Boom, boom, boom.
We're going to watch the Spider-Man trailer.
Here we go.
Come on. Where's Variant Sam at? You should be excited for this.
Okay, hang on. How do I change my name? I can't. I'd have to leave. That's okay. I'm Variant Sam. Now, Variant Sam is excited for this trailer. So let me share the screen.
All right.
Oh, this is cool.
Oh, look at this. This is a good one. Some suggest that Parker's powers include male spider's ability to hypnotize females.
Stop. Come on.
Yes, my spider.
Just like stay up here all day. It is so cozy down there.
That's right, folks. Spider-Man is, in fact, Peter Parker.
Listen. J. Jonah Jameson.
The drones did.
The drones that are yours.
Is that Matt Murdock?
What do you mean?
Now that everybody knows, you don't really have to hide.
Devil in disguise?
I never wanted to lie to you. Then how do you tell someone that you're Spider-Man?
Now everybody knows.
But this isn't about me. This is hurting a lot of people.
What's up, Aunt May?
I've just been thinking about how to fix all of this.
How do we fix this?
To what do I owe the pleasure?
I'm sorry to bother you, sir.
Please, we saved half the universe together. I think we're beyond you calling me, sir.
Did hell freeze over?
That feels weird, but I'll allow it.
When Mysterio revealed my identity, my entire life got screwed up. I was wondering if maybe you could make it so that he never did.
Strange. Don't cast that spell. It's too dangerous. Fine. I won't.
Ooh, tension.
A little wink.
The entire world is about to forget that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Wait, everyone? Can't some people still know?
That's not how the spell works.
So MJ's going to forget about everything we've ever been through?
Stop tampering with the spell.
Oh my God, Ed, he's my best friend. My Aunt May should really
stop talking.
What just happened?
We tampered with the stability of space-time. Multiverse is a concept about which we know frighteningly little. The problem is you trying to live two different lives. The longer you do it, the more dangerous it becomes.
Oh. Yeah, pumpkin bomb.
Be careful what you wish for, Parker.
Doc Octavius.
Hello, Peter.
General Kenobi.
Wow.
Yes, December 17th opening. Man.
Okay, so I have to be completely honest with our fans. Uh-oh. I'm actually really excited for this.
Yes.
And I think it's because, like, we don't, like, he's not like this stupid teenager.
No,
this stupid whiny teenager. That's how I always view him. So it's like
he's done some growing up. He has three movies.
Yeah, he's
got to
be a big boy now.
Yes, cameo and three movies under his belt. He's doing his thing and stuff. And so
Danny says it was released right after it was leaked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they wanted to keep it as a full surprise. It was a surprise to most of us. Some of us couldn't wait, and they went to go see the crappy leaked version of it, which was, I don't know. I didn't see it, but it, but anyway, they released it and they put it out there. And I know there are some people who were like, where's Toby and Andrew at and stuff like that. And you know what? That's not what they're going to save some surprises for the big show, whether they're in it or not. That, you know, we don't know. Or maybe there's another trailer that as they get closer to the date that they'll reveal. They know what they're doing. You know, they got you guys where they want you, and people love, they're going crazy for this trailer. So.
And like it, I mean, I'm not a huge Spider-Man fan. Even I'm going crazy over it because we're seeing all of these pieces from all of these different medias coming together.
Yes.
It's so amazing. It's beautiful. Yeah,
it really is.
Oh, man.
And I just said it was beautiful, guys. Yes. Danny says Elsa visited the sanctum.
Oh, did you see the meme that I created with there's a Elsa and Dr. Strange one night stand meme that was created. Very inappropriate. But I'm gonna drop some my opinions.
Well, did you see what Danny said?
Spider-Man trailer drops and Mephisto theories, right? Yes. Yes, it does. You can't help. I mean, we all are suckers for Mephisto, and he lives in the recess for a lot of our minds, especially comic book heads like myself. You know, there's, you know, this movie, from what we're gathering from the trailer, is kind of loosely based on One More Day, which a lot of people who read it hated that because it was, you know, the it was that story arc that killed just the relationship of Spider-Man and MJ for no reason whatsoever. You know, they, you know, the writer of that one, you know, was separating from Marvel, and he wanted, you know, had his beliefs that, you know, we wanted a young generation to fall in love with Spider-Man again, and a married Spider-Man wouldn't do as well. So we can create a way to undo that. And they brought Mephisto in. And the way that worked was, you know, he, you know, Spider-Man was revealed, and he really wanted, he, you know, he was villainized, and he wanted to change that. And actually, his aunt, because of he came for and revealed himself through Tony Stark doing, his Aunt May got shot, and he wanted to save her life because she was in critical condition. She was going to die. And the only thing he can do is make a deal with the devil. And that was Mephisto. That was, you know, that was the deal he made. And he wanted something that he, you know, which was the love, the marriage of him and MJ. And because he knew how much that would just crush them and stuff. So, yeah, so there's some loose baseness is loosely based on that, just how a lot of the Marvel story arcs are. So because of that, Mephisto rears his ugly head. People are saying because Doctor Strange is acting a little strange. Maybe, you know, he's not really, you know, he's so quick to help a teenager to undo something versus counsel him or give him some wisdom and stuff about what he's going to be doing. Here's the truth. It's a trailer. We don't know what the conversation was and stuff. He could have tried and stuff and came to the conclusion that, yeah, maybe it's saving this kid's life and we'll try it and stuff. He's arrogant enough to take that chance, but who knows? So yeah, Mephisto is kind of popping up around there. Maybe it's not Doctor Strange because he's acting weird, and it could be Mephisto because he's making the deal with Peter Parker so very quickly. And then you hear that voiceover of "Be careful what you wish for," which is something absolutely Mephisto would say. So yep. And then Chris, who was saying the Eye of Agamotto is around Doctor Strange's neck, which the significance of that is that time stone don't exist anymore. It's gone. We returned the original back on the timeline. As you guys all saw, Captain America went back in time to do that. So there is no more time stone. They were destroyed with Thanos snapped the gauntlet. Oh, we're hearing that crackling again. I don't know if that's it's gone. So there, Chris makes a good point. We see the Eye of Agamotto strung around Doctor Strange's neck where there's no affinity stone. So how's that possible? So I don't know. The trailer, it leaves you kind of wanting and guessing and speculating and stuff. We got to see the pumpkin bomb for the Green Goblin, which was awesome. We saw lightning. We saw kind of a thunderstorm with a dust kind of appearance and stuff. We saw a shadowy lizard reptilian kind of figure come out and stuff. And we even seen Doc Ock himself, which I think is amazing. I think this is going to be a reveal. In my opinion, I'm rooting for Toby to show up where he looks at Peter. He doesn't know Tom Holland's Peter Parker, but he dang sure knows Toby Maguire's Peter Parker. And he says, "Well, hello there, Peter." So I don't know. Maybe he's talking to Toby, the other Spider-Man, but who knows? Yes. Awfully sounds a lot like William Dafoe, the Goblin's Laugh. Yes. He has a very unique voice as an actor and a very unique, distinct laugh. And it sounded exactly, I agree, it sounded just like William Dafoe. So whether we see these people or not, It's up for debate. You know, Marvel has edited their trailers before to trick us. You know, we thought we're going to get the Incredible Hulk inside a Hulkbuster suit in Endgame, and that never happened. So who knows? They could have edited something out and to where it kind of obscure and wants us to go down this wonderland of what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. So don't you know, feel defeated if you don't see the other Spider-Mans. Because who knows, we may have more trailers coming, and it's always worth the conversation to have. So let's have that conversation and speculate. So
like Mondo said, people forget the point of a teaser trailer. Can't give the house away from the drop.
Absolutely. Yes.
They got to give us something to keep wanting. something to keep waiting for.
If I was them, I would never, if Toby and Andrew is in this, I will never, if I, it was up to me, I will never put them in the trailer. Nope. Ever. You won't get it until you show up to the theater.
I want to make your jaw drop.
Yep. I want that surprise. I'm going to save that nugget for the people who are willing to pay to go see the, and experience the event. So,
yeah. So, ready for the game, guys?
Yeah.
Sure. Let's do it.
Ethan came up with our game tonight. Obviously, I had nothing to do with this. But I'm going to play because I love you guys. So let's do this.
Let's go.
I never read our game stuff. I'm sorry, Ethan. Nothing on you. I just don't. I've always don't read.
So actually, and I was telling Sean this, and I'll share it while you're looking it up. I have an idea about a game that we're going to play that will create variants within the Disney world that we know it. So it'll take Marvel and Disney and Star Wars and Pixar and pin it up against each other. That I think will be a lot of fun. So I'm going to put that into our chat later on so you guys can start thinking about it. But I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, so. I like that.
Do I take over here? Like, are you waiting for me?
It's your show, man.
You're in charge of the game.
All right. So Spidey games. So I thought it would be fun to sort of pick apart which Spider-Man we like the most out of the three. So Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and obviously Tom Holland. So the first question is, which of the Spider-Man series had the best set of villains? So bear in mind Green Goblin, Dr. Octavius, the Rhino, Electro, Vulture, and Mysterio are some of the ones that come to mind for all three. So which of the three did you like the most? And as always, ladies first.
I'm pretty much going to pick the Toby series for everything, but if I could get, I mean, my favorite villain is Green Goblin. So,
yeah,
but
so good answer. I agree. It was a actually, I love Doc Ock. Dr. Octavius from Spider-Man 2, it was just the Toby. I like their series. I love Sam Raimi's take on Spider-Man. So, yeah. No offense to Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland, but that's Doc Ock. That's my favorite villain there.
There you go.
And Miles Morales. Yes, we have, we got introduced to the villain there too.
I didn't include Miles. I did think about it, but I thought it would be easier to stay to the big three with the live action. So I apologize, Chris, that Miles is not in here. However, Miles really did have some awesome parts and definitely some awesome villains as well. So
yeah, Kingpin.
That's right. Yep. So the next question is who has the best spider suit out of the three? So obviously Tobey Maguire's is very simplistic. Andrew Garfield had a little bit of gizmos and gadgets, and then obviously Tom's is very futuristic, has all the gizmos, all the gadgets. So Sam, how do you fall? I am a Green Goblin fan, so I picked Toby as well.
Nice.
And Sam, whose suit did you like the best, or who wore it best?
Tom Holland.
Okay.
So which of the suits are just any of his Spider-Man suits? He's just rocking it for you.
He's the most attractive one, in my opinion. So if we're talking about suits, I don't care. I honestly don't care. It's Spider-Man, but.
So I'll say for me, absolutely. Tom Holland, the Iron suit was fantastic to see live action. I was blown away. And the fact that it has so much tech inside of it as we're kind of, I know from, comic books and stuff, all the tech it has, including kill mode and stuff when he needs to go berserk and stuff. And the fact that that was actually shown on the screen on how that looked was awesome. So yes, the Iron suit was one of my favorites. So.
Yeah.
And Danny says Tom's because it's got Jennifer Connelly's voice.
That's a good reason too. It's not a bad reason at all. I think for me, I like the simplistic stuff, but I really love Tom Holland's suit because it's got so much futuristic stuff to it. It's like Inspector Gadget plays Spider-Man too.
Oh yeah.
So that aspect of it is pretty cool. So the next question I thought was fun as well. Which love interest was the best? So you have Mary Jane, which was played by Kristen Dunst. You have Gwen Stacy in the Amazing Spider-Man series, which was Emma Stone. And then obviously you have MJ, I can't say her name.
Zendaya.
So which of those three did you like the most? Who portrayed the best sort of love interest for Spider-Man?
Mary Jane.
So I'm going with the original. Yeah, Kristen Dunst. She killed it with that role. She played Mary Jane. Not that I don't like Zendaya's character and stuff, but the love interest was it was tracking a little bit slow for what I know. So Mary Jane. We have a Gwen Stacy by Danny. Which was pretty. An interesting concept. I just have my issues with Andrew's Garfield series. So,
I think that was the take for a lot of them. But I also really liked Gwen. But I am a Tobey Maguire fan through and through. Mm-hmm. So I loved Kristen Dunst in this role. I loved the character of Mary Jane. And I think them living next door to each other. I thought that aspect of it, like defending her, wanting to buy the car and all of that stuff. Like I can remember being a teenager and wanting to do all those cool things and would have done anything for a $2,000 car. So it definitely, played to my heartstrings a little bit. So
Marlo says, best love interest is Happy and Aunt May. No. That is not going to happen. Not my.
Those of you that are interested in Aunt May, that is the next question, is who plays the best Aunt May in your opinion? So obviously you have Rosemary Harris, the older woman. I remember her very white hair. You have Sally Fields, who is an incredible actress. Yep. And then you also have Marissa Tomei, who is the current Aunt May. And she's a really good looking woman.
She's an elf.
Sam, after you.
She's an elf. Sally Fields.
Sally Fields. Okay.
Like for me, like her, she just can be in any role and be amazing.
Forrest Gump was one of her best. I love that. Her work in that was incredible. Mama always told me, "Laugh is like box chocolate." What about you, David?
So I'm going with Marissa Tomei. Now I've actually been called to task about choosing Marissa Tomei because it was such a difference from the comic book version of Aunt May. But here's my rebuttal to that. So we all know who Paul Rudd is, right? The great, glorious Paul Rudd. And I've actually posted one of the most famous memes where it shows Paul Rudd of today's era is the same age of Wilbur Wright? The Quaker Oak guy was when he was in the movie Cocoon. You can see those guys. You can imagine the Quaker Oak guy and Paul Rudd, and they're the same age. Our generation just looks a little bit younger, but we're the same age. So Aunt May, same age as the comic book version, but just more updated. Just, she took care of herself a little bit more. She's not the 50s and 60s Aunt May. So that's my defense. They didn't really broke the will going with a younger Aunt May. They just went with a younger looking Aunt May, more updated. Yeah. So there it is. There's my defense right there.
I like it. I too, I'm going to go with Sally Field. I have always enjoyed her work. I thought that she played that role really well. And similar to what Sam said, Sally Field could do no wrong. She could play anything, and I would really enjoy her. And like I said, Forrest Gump's one of my all-time favorites, and the fact that she was the mama was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. So the next question is, who is your favorite Peter Parker friend? So obviously you have James Franco as Harry Osborn in the first set of films. You have the second take of Harry Osborn in The Amazing Spider-Man. And then you have Ned Leeds, which has become a fast fan favorite, I think, for a lot of people. But obviously, we're just the three of us, so we get to talk about our favorite. So, Sam, who is your favorite Peter Parker friend?
If I had to pick one, I would pick Franco, but I really don't care. Like, I don't have a prep. Like, I'm not... His buddies don't make the movie for me.
Understood. David? All right.
So I'm gonna go with Hobgoblin. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Ned. I'm going with Ned.
Nice little take there. I like that.
Got James Franco. Ned, he's the guy in the chair.
He's the guy in the
chair. Gotta go with James Franco. Ned.
Yes.
Ned, he becomes the Hong Kong.
There we go.
Yes. Yes. That's an air high five there, Chris. Yes. Hobgoblin there.
Chris needs to hurry up and come back to the Marvel tribe.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely, man. Hurry up.
That's a shout out, Chris. They're calling you out, buddy. Time to come back. For me, I too am going to go with the first take of Harry Osborn by James Franco.
Nice.
I said it from the get-go. Toby was my through and through, so I'm always going to probably lean that way. So last but not least, I have two final questions, and I love
how you separate this. This is perfect.
I think the answer here is going to be different for everybody, but the first question is, who is your favorite Peter Parker? And then you can follow it up with, who is your favorite Spider-Man? So they are two very separate questions, but you either have the same answer for both, or they're two very different, in my opinion. So Sam's shaking her head. What do you got?
Do I have to pick a favorite? No, I'm just kidding. A squished Spider-Man.
Get the broom.
Okay, favorite Peter Parker is Toby.
Okay.
And favorite Spider-Man? Tom Holland.
Okay. Good answer. David?
Okay, so I don't disagree. I think Tobey Maguire, he really kind of embodies that awkwardness of Peter Parker. I think he sells the role of Peter Parker more so than the good-looking, Andrew Garfield and the great-looking Tom Holland, who they gave the Superman treatment to. You know, you throw some shades on, and all of a sudden he's a nerd. No, that dude, yeah, people can see past that. But
he's no Clark Kent.
But Toby, man, his arc awkwardness with that role just kind of came through. So yeah, and it showed, especially with those cringy dance moves that he,
him and Mary Jane, just like
yeah, their chemistry
made the movie.
So yeah, so Toby for Peter Parker, and then for Spider-Man, I give it up to Tom Holland, the Golden Boy. He stepped it up. Like, that dude is the embodiment of Spider-Man, and I love it. So all credit to Tom Holland as Spider-Man. That dude's awesome. So
yeah.
Ethan?
I think for me, I see Peter Parker as Toby. I think, like I said, he was dorky. He was the photographer. He gets bit. Like, I also like that they kind of give you the backstory of how it happens, why it happens. I like that portion of it. And he was Peter, and you know, he gets up to his room and he's kind of like, he's just kind of a loser, you know? And, and then all of a sudden he wakes up and he's like, oh, he doesn't need his glasses anymore. Like, that's cool. It was a cool story arc.
Yes.
And then in terms of the actual Spider-Man, I actually think Andrew did a really, really good job as Spider-Man. Like, he was kind of quick and witty. He kind of had like a really cool, like, PG-13, like Deadpool feel to it a little bit. But I think Tom Holland is far and away the best Spider-Man that they've put on the screen. And then Miles Morales actually may even be like a close second, because he did an awesome job as well. And I'm sorry that I didn't include him. Okay.
So if we're adding him in, then I'm absolutely ditching Tom Holland and going for Miles Morales. So,
yep.
But yeah, I love Andrew Garfield. His Spider-Man was okay. Yeah. I just got kind of what was it, Sparkle Time vampire, like Twilight vibes.
Yeah.
From that. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I'm saying it. It just
you're not wrong.
That's how I got from that. So
you're not wrong.
Danny says Tom for Peter and Toby as Spidey.
Okay. Reverse. And
Lauren says Toby for both.
Right on.
Good stuff.
Look at that. We made it a whole hour.
That's it. We did it.
Oh, we did. Oh, my God.
Look at that.
Yes. High fives.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, bye. See you guys later.
We made it.
Okay. So we've got episodes of Marvel Tribe coming out this weekend. We are recording over the last two What Ifs.
Yes.
Yeah. We have Extra Magic Hour hopefully coming out next week.
The Star
Rachel
Wars.
And I, Yeah, Force Friday, they just released an Amber and Jade just released an episode. So head on over to our Waltz Apartment live podcast stream and listen to their Force Friday. They went over thoughts over the first season of Bad Batch and what they think is to come.
Yep.
Amazing. They are amazing. We're so lucky to have them. Rachel and I just released an episode on Dizology about Bambi and trauma and grief and how you can use it as something to open the door for a conversation with kids.
I love your guys' stuff on the deep dive. It is a new, it's kind of a new take and stuff just on Disney properties and stuff. And you guys really do your work. So credit to you too, because you guys get great guests and including myself. And you guys really deep dive and make you kind of
dead parents.
So yeah, I love
Disney
it.
Classic.
Absolutely.
All right. I think that's all we have for tonight. You guys good?
I think so.
Thanks for joining us in Waltz Apartment. We hope you enjoyed the view.
Peace. Bye, everybody.
Bye.